here to do.
We are on the record.
Remember, you're the chairman?
Yes. Oh. Yes. But I just got all confuzzled.
Discombobulated.
Okay. Yes. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Would everyone please rise for the flag salute? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. This is the January 28, 2019 meeting of the Zoning Board of Adjustment of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, and State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, in that an annual notice was published in the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the bulletin boards in the municipal building, and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, the Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger, no later than the Friday prior to the meeting. The next item on the agenda is swearing in of new members.
And we had a swearing in ceremony before the meeting tonight, and we have the two wings, the left wing and the right wing of the board were sworn in, Mr. McTiernan, Ms. Stevens, Mr. Yeager, and Mr. Pfeffer. So we're at full strength.
Okay, and now we will have roll call. Mr. Filas?
Absent.
Dr. Lewis?
Here.
Mr. Mattson?
Here.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Here.
Mr. McTiernan?
Present.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Here.
Mr. Roberts?
Here.
Ms. Stevens?
Here.
And Mr. Yeager?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Where are we going to put them?
Nominations.
And now, next we have nominations.
Chairperson.
Would anyone like to make nominations for chairperson?
I nominate Tom McCaffrey. I'll second.
Are there any other nominations?
Nope.
Okay, can we take a vote?
You can do a voice vote, yep.
Okay.
All in favor?
All in favor?
Aye.
Any
any abstentions?
Any abstentions?
It's unanimous.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kick the gavel back to him. He's up.
Congratulations, Mr. McCaffrey.
Thank you.
Chairman McCaffrey.
Thank you all. Appreciate the vote of confidence.
She worked quickly. Look at that.
I know.
Thank you.
I bet she still has one in a drawer with yours.
Yeah, right. Probably in the back someplace.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It is.
Well, Dan's got two. There's a second one over there from former counsel, even though, you know, it's his name.
Okay, let's do vice chairman, and then we'll run down the agenda briefly. Nominations for vice chairperson, please.
I'd like to nominate John Mattson.
And I'll second.
Second, okay. Any other nominations? Nominations closed. All in favor for Mr. Mattson?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any nays or abstentions? None? John, congratulations again.
Thank you.
Another round? And so just to read down the rest of the agenda, we'll go through appointments of professionals. We'll approve the calendar, rules and regulations, vouchers, two sets of minutes. We have two resolutions to adopt. By the way, if anyone hears static, it might be because you've got a mobile phone near one of the microphones. So I don't know if anyone's got there.
It's my computer.
Two resolutions, and then public hearing for DeSapio, which we actually won't have the public hearing tonight, correct? And I'm only digging into this now because I know we have one person in the public. Are you here for DeSapio?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you're welcome to stay for the entertainment value, but we won't be having a public hearing on that tonight. And, Denise, can you explain why that's the case, just in case this gentleman decides to leave early?
Yeah, so the DeSapio application has two issues that one of them needs to be resolved before it can be heard, and one of them needs to be resolved before the before the board would be in a position, if it wanted to approve it, to be able to approve it. And so the applicant has asked, the issue that has to be resolved before the application can be heard is it needs a Highlands consistency review. Now, this is something that's going to come up now in most applications, because the township has opted into the Highlands, so not just the small little preservation areas, but the entire planning area. And technically, to be complete, an application has to have a Highlands consistency review. Now, the township ordinance right now, the completeness checklist, has not been updated to include that. So this applicant didn't apply for the Highlands consistency review, although I thought I saw something today where
they just sent it out.
So they were deemed complete. I spoke with the applicant's attorney and said, listen, we have a little touchy situation, because technically we couldn't have deemed you incomplete because the ordinance hadn't been updated, but had we heard it, we might have a problem with the Highlands. And so the applicant was nice enough to give us a time extension that will the 120 days to hear the application will start to run once the Highlands consistency report is received. And then there was another issue with the application, and that is the application says that they're going to provide sewer for the site through the CTSA, but they don't have a will serve letter from the CTSA. The existing use has a septic system. But if they wanted to go from their existing use to the proposed use, it doesn't appear that the septic field would be able to accommodate that, so they'd have to make the septic field larger and therefore make their building smaller. So we suggested to the applicant that sewer is a negative criterion issue, so let's assume that they proved the positive criterion, special reasons for the use variance. And if they didn't have that sewer thing resolved, I don't know how the board would be able to be in a position to grant the application. So for that other reason, they also asked to come off. So we're going to adjourn this to a date certain, which is the board's meeting on March what?
March 25th.
March 25th. So the hearing on DiSapio is going to be adjourned to March 25, 2019, with no need for further notice. So there's no need for further notice, except if, because of the Highlands consistency review, the Highlands comes back and asks them to do something that would require more relief, then they might have to do another notice. But if the Highlands consistency review comes back and it's like, you're okay, then there's no need for further notice. So again, hearing continued to March 25, 2019, no need for further notice, except if that Highlands consistency review comes back and asks for something where they need relief from the board.
Normally we start at 7.
Oh.
We went out for dinner tonight because it's first meeting of the year, so come an hour earlier.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had gotten the notice. I'm with the New Jersey Water Supply Authority, and we had gotten the notice. And said, like I said, it said 8 because tonight was at 8.
Right, right, right.
I'll pay attention to the recruiters, 7 o'clock on the 25th.
Right.
So we were primarily
of March.
Of March, yes. We were really just looking for more information. We didn't know if we had, like,
Well, put it this way. Maybe you should call. We'll give you the applicant's attorney's name is Alan Locher,
L-O-W-C-H-E-R,
and his phone number is
908-689-5740. And he's located in Washington, New Jersey.
Yep.
Okay.
Nice to meet you.
Yes.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
You sure you don't want to stay? It's kind of lonely here.
Okay. So then moving back to the agenda. Next, we'll go to appointments of professionals. And the list that we have is the same as last year, but there are four places where it's our intent not to name a professional. for two reasons. One, the planning board chose not to name a professional because they didn't use anyone last year. So it's not that we're switching. We're just, the idea is just to leave it blank, and if we have a case where we think we need someone, then we'll go out and contact the people that we used last year. This will save us from having to do the contracts with them.
Good idea.
So other than that, I'm going to read down the list so it'll be on the record and for completeness, and if anyone has any questions, great. Otherwise, we'll adopt the whole thing en masse. For attorney, John Drill. Conflict attorney, Jay Bone. Engineering experts, Kathleen Marcelli and Larry Plevier from Mott McDonald. Traffic expert, Kathy Marcelli, Mott McDonald. Lighting expert, Jason Harkins, Mott McDonald. Planning experts, Joe Burgess and Tom Behrens from Burgess Associates. Landscape architect, Brian Bosenberg. Conflict landscape architect, John Morgan Thomas from John Morgan Thomas. Environmental expert, Jeffrey Keller, Habitat by Design. Hydrology and geology, Matt Mulhall from M2 Associates. Board stenographer, Jackie Clapp. And by the way, Denise, these still say Joanne, these contracts. So these...
Oh, geez. Okay, sorry about that.
So we'll have to get
I will the, revise that.
Okay. Board Secretary Denise Filardo, and newspapers for publication, Hunterdon County Democrat, Star Ledger. So anyone have any questions?
Just a quick question. John, since you don't represent developers ever, when would we need a conflict attorney?
I don't know, but my partner represents some developers.
Okay, so and, your firm had a...
Right, and see, so the rules of professional conduct for attorneys don't have an appearance of conflict. We only have actual conflict. But when I sit here, mm-hmm. I'm a local government official. I'm subject to the local government ethics law, which does have appearance of conflict. So it's conceivable that I could have a conflict.
Okay.
In fact, we've had, not very often, we've had Jay Bone a couple times.
Before me.
I guess we haven't had him since.
As I say, not in the last 3 years at least.
I mean, maybe I think my partner once like did one of those convenience store things. And there was a convenience store also in front of the board?
Well, we had two things. One, we've had Katie a couple times.
Yeah, but she's from my office.
Right. So do we need her name on here?
You know what?
Oh, yeah. Is
yeah.
For...
Let's add.
Yeah, we didn't do it for the planning board either. Okay.
Yeah, let's add it to Katie Raisin. Good
right.
idea.
And then there was a while when we had the other woman whose name escapes me that I think was helping you on the
book.
Manual.
But, right, but she...
She's on to something else.
Correct. And
she was listed as the conflict.
Right, but we can't use her anymore because her firm actually developed a conflict.
Right.
Because she moved to a really big firm. The really big firm does work for Exxon, does work for a bunch of your big...
Right, I recall. Okay, can I have a motion to adopt all of the professionals as just read out?
So moved.
And a second, please?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any nays or abstentions? Okay, thank you for that. So moving on to calendar, you didn't pass out a full calendar, is that right, Denise?
It was in the box.
So it's the fourth Monday for January, February, March, April. May is the third Monday because of holiday. June, July, August, September, October, November, all regular. And then in December, instead of going on the 23rd, we moved 2 weeks earlier to the 9th, as we've done in previous years.
And you get the reorg meeting for January 2019 on there?
It's not on there, but I have a note about that.
Yeah, let's and make that is, announcement.
Yes. Hold on.
I can take a guess. It's going to be the fourth Monday in January, 2019.
Yes,
it is. 2019.
Or 2020.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay.
You guessed wrong.
You
go
guess.
So it will be...
You mean today.
January 27th, 2020.
Which, believe it or not, it's going to be here before you even know.
Oh,
yeah, it is.
Nice.
It really
I
is.
I hate to say.
Yeah.
They keep on going faster and faster.
Okay, motion to adopt the calendar, please.
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Well, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. Can he?
No, he can't.
He can't.
Right.
He can't do either.
There's six of them.
People.
There's six regular members here right now.
One, two.
I'm alternate one.
Yes, he's right.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
He's right.
I'm counting heads instead of...
I'm not voting.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
The man knows his stuff.
All right, you're on.
Okay. Rules and regulations for 2019 have been distributed, and, John, we had no changes from last year, correct?
Correct.
Okay. But I don't think we had any changes last year either, did we?
Well,
yeah, actually,
I think we did,
a couple.
Yeah, having a discussion on the length of time to, standard length of time to get approvals. And,
yeah. So here's my suggestion. Why don't we approve this, and then when we get to the point on annual report, we can debate all these issues. And I got comments from a couple.
Right, because we could revise these things next. If you let's try to get them adopted tonight.
I was going to ask, is it worthwhile to adopt for the Board of Adjustment the same thing that we had done for the Planning Board last year with requiring submission electronically?
Are they not in here?
No.
So let's add that to the discussion.
Okay. Motion to approve rules and regulations.
So move.
And a second.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Nays or abstentions? Okay, approval of vouchers. I just reviewed a stack of, I don't know, 15 or so. Over there, everything looked in order from my perspective, so I'll move.
I had a question on those.
Okay.
There were about five or six for work in 2016 and 17.
Hopefully not by me.
2016 and 17?
No, there were two from Clark, Kate, and Hintz. There were two from Mott McDonald. There were two from Bosenberg.
The Clark, Kate, and Hintz is possible because they claim that they billed and didn't get paid on something. So the Clark, Kate, and Hintz, I would say yes. The others, I...
Let's pull them out, right? You got them right?
Yeah. Do you remember who the applicants were?
Let's see. Mott McDonald was Church of the Holy Spirit in Bourbon Street. Bosenberg was U.S. Gas.
John, I think you may have been looking at a different set of vouchers.
Right, because I don't remember seeing them.
Those were not in here.
In the box,
they were on the website.
There's only one file in the box.
You may have gone to a different file from another meeting. None of those are...
Okay.
Do you want to look through the paper copies again while we're sitting here?
Yeah, give me the paper copies.
Yeah.
No, I just went by what I downloaded on the website. The other ones were all 2018.
You're on our website.
Yeah,
John, when you...
They're not on our website.
I shouldn't say website.
On the box. On the, you had to be under a different meeting. You had to be under a different date.
In the BOA vouchers folder, there's ones going all the way back to 2016, but there's only one for 1/28/19.
Right.
Today's date.
They're listed by meeting.
Say that again louder.
There's like 15 BOA voucher files in the directory, but only one of them has today's date. The rest of them are other meetings.
Right, you have to look at the right folder.
Yeah.
Right. So perhaps you looked at...
An older folder.
The reorg meeting from last year.
An older folder.
An older folder, yeah.
Or two folders. Got the correct ones.
Two older folders.
Well, one correct folder and one older folder.
Could be.
The whole file came up. But I clicked the link. All the other bills, 2018. So, you know, I mean, if
all the ones that I looked at manually are current.
Put the laptops a little closer to you. Let's see if that.
We actually had someone here from the company today who's going to come back and give us some quotes on the system.
All the ones I reviewed are current. It's Platypus, it's DiSapio, it's Junio, all things from the last couple of months. So I'm comfortable these are good.
Okay.
That's annoying.
line is awfully close.
I shouldn't be doing it because you're not close to anything.
I know.
Thank you.
Yep. But we'll just see.
No.
Oh, there are you.
I'm innocent. It's not me.
Usually the buzzing is the phones and the laptops. The static, I don't know what that is.
Okay. All right. So I move to approve payment. Second, please. Let me plug mine, see if mine is maybe something to do with it. You second.
I second.
Okay.
Not me.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any? Did you vote?
I'm actually going to abstain. I don't know about the business of the board. Yep.
Okay. Fine. Okay. Approval of minutes. We have two sets of minutes. Fine then. 10/22/18.
I have a question for those minutes. On that, I'm trying to open it up. I marked as present, but then
voted on something.
I marked as absent, and I'm also marked as abstained. So it's just a big mixy thing. On
10/22?
Yeah.
Remember where it is? Okay, so.
So you have me? Keep going.
In attendance.
In attendance.
Okay.
Keep going. All right. So this one has
marked
absent.
Were you, did you?
But that's what, is it because it's absent from the previous something, or?
No, absent.
No, no.
Vote.
Well,
did you come up? Did you come in late?
That's what I was just going to say.
You could have come in late.
Did you come, you came in late one meeting. That might have been the October meeting. So,
so if you're late, you would be absent
well,
on the first
vouchers we probably
votes.
Did right near the top of the meeting within the first 10 minutes.
Okay, well, keep going and you'll see that
okay.
It says, like, this. It has not eligible and absent.
Oh, so,
so
that's
the same thing.
Oh, not Google eligible and absent. If I do that.
Okay.
Because even if you were here, you were not eligible to vote on that because you weren't here for the meeting for whatever we were voting on for the minutes.
All right. So,
so not eligible and absent. Fine. Yes, there are a number of people that are not eligible and absent for the meeting minutes of September 24th.
Okay.
Okay. So any other comments or corrections to 10/22/18?
Well, one sort of humorous one. At one point, you referred to a straw poll, and it's called a P-O-L-E instead of P-O-L-L.
Oh, and I know that. See, and that's something else that spell check won't
right,
pick
spell
up.
Right, spell check won't pick it up. you could have a straw poll.
Yeah, that's right.
It might not be as firm as a steel pole, but
that's correct.
You're thinking of the North
Pole. Was the Round Valley Inn going to apply
for
something?
Oh, here it is. You're right.
If it was in a North Pole and you put water in it, would freeze. It would be firm.
It would be.
Yeah.
See what we do to fill the time?
You like in the entertainment value?
Okay, motion to approve those minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
And a second, please. It's the Lewis, Mattson, McCaffrey, Stevens, and Yeager.
I'll make the motion.
The second.
Second.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'll second the motion.
Okay. And of the eligible members, all in favor?
Okay. Aye.
Any nays or abstentions
that's
among
five of them,
eligible?
Right?
I'm an abstention.
Wait a minute.
No,
you're not eligible.
It's Lewis
of the eligible.
You know what? Call the roll on this to make it easier.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dr. Lewis?
She should abstain because she wasn't here for the whole meeting.
Right.
Okay. Mr. Mattson?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Ms. Stevens?
Yes.
And Mr. Yeager?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Okay. Great, thanks. Minutes of November 26. So... of those of us that are here, it's Lewis, Mattson, McCaffrey, Stevens, and Yeager.
All right. I'll make a motion.
No comments? No corrections? Anyone? No? Okay. The motion.
I didn't see any.
And a second, please.
I'll do it again.
Okay.
Second.
Can you call the roll, please?
Yes. Dr. Lewis?
Yes.
Mr. Mattson?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Ms. Stevens?
Yes.
And Ms. Yeager?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, great, thanks. Okay, on to resolutions. We have two, American Baptist Church of New Jersey, resolution 2018-10, and this is version one, correct, John?
Correct. And I just have to add one thing, and that's to the voting block. I have to list Mr. Glazer as no longer a board member.
Okay, motion to adopt that resolution.
And eligible Lewis, Mattson, McCaffrey, Stevens, and Yeager.
Okay.
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay, Denise, you call the roll, please.
Dr. Lewis?
Yes.
Mr. Mattson?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Ms. Stevens?
Yes.
And Mr. Yeager?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, and now we're on to Grass.
Yeah, before you decide to make a motion on McGrath, let's just, what's the status with the escrow account now on McGrath?
Okay, I am waiting for additional funds. So right now there is not enough money in escrow to complete for this resolution.
Yeah, now normally I wouldn't have put it into a second draft, but without going into all the details, there was no stop work order issued. I did it, and I'm thinking that the board has two choices, either table it until the escrow is refilled, or maybe the carrot approach is to adopt it, but then the board direct Denise not to sign it, not to publish notice of its adoption, not to give it to the applicant, but to tell the applicant, if he wants a signed copy, all he's got to do is pay the escrow. But it's up to the board which way you want to go.
I'd be inclined to go with the latter. Mm-hmm. If for some reason we don't have a meeting in February, we might be a couple months. So anyone have a problem with that?
And would that be one of those things that would be automatically approved if we table it?
No. No, because it's a resolution. But look, normally I put you into this position by doing this next draft. But you know what? Maybe this will end up getting the escrow paid sooner. Who knows?
Right. They've given no indication they won't pay the escrow, right?
Not
this applicant.
No.
We'll get to the other applicant.
Yeah.
That's another story.
Right.
No,
correct.
These people were on the ball, as I recall. They were pretty sharp. I don't
correct.
Think it's going to be an issue.
Yeah, listen. And this is not Denise. They were never told that the escrow was deficient until Denise... until we found it out and she told them.
Right.
Yeah.
So we'll just leave it at that. These people are blameless.
Right. Yeah, there's no... They didn't know
they owed the money.
Right. I'm confident they'll pay up. They were on the ball.
Yeah.
So we're all in agreement. We'll vote to adopt and then...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I won't publish or distribute yet.
Right. So no. Part of your motion... So Phyllis is absent, but Mattson, McCaffrey, Roberts, and Stevens. So when you make the motion to adopt the resolution, add to it that Denise shouldn't sign it, and notice of its adoption shouldn't be published, and a copy shouldn't be given to the applicant until and unless the escrow is brought up to the appropriate amount.
Someone
want to make that
motion?
Motion
to that effect?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
A second.
Okay, Denise, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, sorry, just one second. Mr. Mattson?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. Roberts?
Yes.
And Mr. Yeager?
I can't vote on this.
Now, Ms. Stevens.
Sorry, I have this in the wrong column. Okay, Ms. Stevens.
Yes.
The motion carries.
Okay, great, thank you. DiSapio, we've discussed. We don't need to vote on anything, right? We're good there?
Correct.
Okay, so now we're on to one that takes a little discussion, which is Junio. And I didn't read the letter, though. Denise, you and I discussed this, right? The letter's listed as communications. Is it posted in the box account?
Yes.
You have a copy of it?
Yes.
Why doesn't Denise just read that letter for the record? And then I have a suggestion after she reads it.
Okay, the letter is dated January 25th, 2019, to the attention of Denise Filardo and Township of Clinton. Regarding property at 36 Chalfont Drive, Lebanon, New Jersey, 08833, Block 13, Lot 7.09, I would like to formally request to withdraw my application for height and setback variances with respect to proposed detached three-car garage. Additionally, I had sent in a letter requesting the above, and it was noted as received on January 16, 2019. I was informed less than 48 hours ago that my letter required more information and that there was an additional fee of $200 involved for preparation of resolution due by 12 noon p.m. on January 25, 2019. Due to the short notice, I have thus far been unable to directly provide this fee to the township, but I am placing a check in the mail for that amount. Thank you.
So my suggestion is that the board dismiss it without prejudice if the escrow is paid by X, you fill in the date, or the dismissal will be with prejudice if not paid by X date. And that's a very simple way of handling it, because the application, if someone submits an application and the hearing doesn't commence, they have the unfettered right to just withdraw it. But the board will... John, is that you? No. Okay. You had your hand there and the thing was going. No.
My hearing aid can't talk to
to the PA system. I thought you had one of those advanced wireless jobs. So I can't remember what I was saying.
Talking about with or without prejudice.
Without prejudice.
Since
we've
taken the time to hear the case.
Right. So the board rule says once you start to hear the case, they need the board's permission. And generally, this board, anytime someone's wanted to withdraw, and you said without prejudice they could resubmit, unless there's some other reason. Well, if they weren't going to pay the escrow because you want a short little resolution, just dotting the I's and crossing the T's. So that's the way you've handled it in the past when you've had an escrow balance. You say, okay, without prejudice, if you give us the escrow and you pick a date, but if you're not going to give the escrow, you know, what are you going to do? But then you don't have to dismiss it without prejudice. You can dismiss it with prejudice, and you'd never be able to bring a similar application. I don't know if you'd want to, but what else can you do? His letter doesn't say so, but he wanted the fee waived, and his position was that since he decided to withdraw the application, that the board should take it out of the board's budget. But that's not what the letter says.
Right, and that was in an email exchange between he and I.
Right, which would be no justification for having the taxpayers pick up the bill on this.
Right.
And didn't he say he indicated he was going to pay or made it?
Yeah. The letter says he's going to pay.
Okay. Yeah, the letter says he's going to pay.
The letter says checks in the mail.
Right. Okay.
Right. And the issue about, the 48, I said to him if he wanted this to be heard
tonight,
he had to have the letter to me by 12 noon on Friday.
I think he misinterpreted what Denise was saying.
Yeah.
He was interpreting that as Denise was threatening him, which she wasn't.
No, not at all.
That, you better get it in within 48 hours.
Yeah, that was not the case.
Okay, so the motion is dismiss
without prejudice. If the escrow is paid by
the
date.
How about the next meeting?
Okay. That's good. By February
25th.
And it will automatically convert to a dismissal with prejudice if not paid by February 25th. How's that?
Excellent. Okay. Motion to that effect, please.
Just one second.
Martha, I didn't see his letter in the box account. Is it there?
I'm missing it.
No, I don't think it's there.
You didn't see it there? Okay.
I swear I put it in there. Okay, sorry about that.
Okay.
I'll
look, but... Is there eligibility on this based on who was here for the hearing, or is everybody...
That's a good question.
Which you'll also find, he also asks very good questions.
Is the dismissal based on the merits?
No, the dismissal is not based on the merits, so it doesn't matter who was here or not.
Procedural vote.
Procedural vote.
No, it should be a little vote.
Yeah. I'll make the motion, then.
Okay.
I'll second.
Second. Okay. You should call the roll, please.
Dr. Lewis?
Yes.
Mr. Mattson?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
Mr. Roberts?
Yes.
Ms. Stevens?
Yes.
And Mr. Yeager?
Yes. Dan, you're alternate number two.
I'm alternate two.
So
there's seven people here.
You're a full member now.
You're now a full member.
Promoted.
That's why you got sworn in again.
As a full member? Watch what I signed. Holy mackerel.
Okay.
Well, you also, by the way, signed that we're sending all the bills to you.
You mean you don't know?
Take us to dinner.
You signed, right? You signed after the fact. That's
it. Doesn't say that.
And you know what else you signed? Anyone traditionally, if you go from an alternate member to a regular member, you take everyone out to dinner the following month.
There you go.
I also heard that you reappoint as the board attorney. Your turn's first.
But I didn't sign the thing. You did.
Huh. Yeah, but have you notarized it yet?
I did. Yeah. I did.
Okay, last item. Jeez. On the agenda is approval of the 2018 annual report, of which I sent a draft out, and a couple of people had things they wanted to talk about, which is why I asked this to be put last to have a little discussion on this. I had one comment about a typo on page 4, number 11, Jamie Junio. I had that spelled incorrectly. Other than that, I got... just a couple comments for let's talk about things here. So, Tom, you had one, and John, you had one. So, do you want to toss out your suggestion?
Okay. Well, as I recall, and I'll have right in front of it, the draft said that the township ordinance could be clearer with respect to how building setbacks are to be measured when a building overhang exists. And what I said was, no, the ordinance is clear, but that can lead to some complications in some cases. And I circulated one resolution that we adopted that dealt with whether it was the foundation footprint that would determine or whether a cantilever structure had to be included.
Like the vertical plane, right?
Yes. And the ordinance, well... the ordinance itself doesn't use the term vertical plane, but it says, you know, distance from the road. But John read a more thorough definition from planning.
Right, from the planning dictionary. The authors are Moskowitz and. Another planner in this state. I forget the right now. I'm forgetting the title.
For the state of Moskowitz, right?
Yeah.
And that made it clear. And in addition, it turns out that before that resolution, we had resolution 2001-01, where a homeowner came to us and said. I have a situation where my foundations are within the meet the required setback, but the roof overhang apparently does not. He was trying to sell the house, and I guess that the buyer's title company had taken a look at the property survey, the location survey, and found that although the foundation was just within inside the setback line, there would be some overhang, which they seem to estimate at about 0.6 of a foot. And he just wanted to know if he could leave the house in the same situation. So in that case, we said, well, the ordinance, yes, you're in violation of the ordinance, but it's all due to township errors by the building department, and possibly by the zoning officer. And therefore, we'll give you a variance for the violation, or for the transgression.
Which resolution did you say that was? What's the resolution number?
2001-01.
That's Harold and Cheryl Nagel?
Yes.
Okay. Must have read it. Just so, you know.
So we've always, and yeah. we obviously we said, yeah, you're reading the ordinance right. So I don't have any problem understanding the ordinance. But
hey, John, ask you a question. When I wrote this, I was reading through various sections of the ordinance, and I couldn't find where it clearly spelled out where you do measure to. For example, the definition of setback is the required yard or distance between the buildings and the property line. But it doesn't say which part of the building.
There are several places, though, where it does say that you're allowed to jut into the setback with your overhangs.
Do you know where that is?
I'm trying to find it now, but the internet.
Well, we went through that with Junio, basically, in section 165-98-D6 permits roofs, eaves, corners, bays, railings, whatever, to extend 3 foot into beyond the building,
right,
as long as we don't have the height variance, or subject to another.
So that lays out one exception, but suppose there's a flower box that sticks out. Is that fair game or not?
Is it attached? It's attached?
Yeah, I have my kitchen window, and I build out a flower box that sticks 2 feet. Is that good or not?
If you want to sell the house, you can take the flower box off. That's no big deal.
Okay, so suppose it's a big flower box. I'm not taking it.
I mean, are we considering it like personal property, though, or is it real property? Like, no, is it part of the house?
It's built into the house.
Yeah, if it's attached.
It's attached to the house. Then what is the
greenhouse window.
Greenhouse window.
Right. Yeah.
Suppose it's big. It's 10 feet long because I've got a big dining room window. So the ordinance, I couldn't find any place.
Well, is that an overhang? I forget the wording that you just used.
What's the definition of it?
Well, for me, for ease, you know, cornices, bay, railings, etc. If it can extend 3 foot, if there's no other variance.
Read it again.
That particular section. Permits roofs, eaves, cornices, bays, railings, and stairs may extend into setbacks no more than 3 feet into setbacks if there is no variance relief or structure required. Again, going back to Junior last month, he wanted the setback variance as well as the height variance. If he would have been down to 16 feet and outside of the 100-foot setback, we wouldn't have a variance situation there.
Suppose
well,
I at the moment,
we deck.
Do, because that recommendation was never put into the ordinance.
It is in the ordinance. I just read it.
In the ordinance?
If you go to section 165-98D6.
So 165-98 was amended a couple of years ago based on the annual report, and the planning board added some other suggestions, and they had the planners. You got to look at section 98. It built in, for example, that's the section that said that underground structures have to comply with the setback. I have two suggestions. One is, after this thing started, there was an email from John and Tom to me. So I asked Denise to go through the Board of Adjustment file and make a spreadsheet of every single interpretation the Board of Adjustment ever issued. The Board of Adjustment, starting in 2000 and going to 2015, has issued 29 interpretations. So maybe look at some of these interpretations, because maybe some of these should basically be codified and put in the ordinance, because I got to tell you, if you asked me how many interpretations the Board had issued since 2000, there's no way I would have thought it was more than a dozen. And there's 29 of them.
Just hold that for a minute, because that's a bigger discussion.
But that includes this particular discussion, because what you're saying is even if they interpreted it, they should put it in the ordinance so no one has to look at an interpretation to find out the answer.
That's true. We could do this one, though, with this annual report. That's a bigger effort to go back when they talk about whether they're going to do a subcommittee.
No, but what I'm saying is you could have a recommendation in the annual report that
separate.
All the interpretations be codified.
Oh, just punch it to the planning board.
Yes.
Well,
if you want to.
We don't know.
Most of the interpretations are very fact sensitive to the particular applicant's property and what he wants to do and everything like that. There are very few of them that.
Well, I'm looking, for example, 2005-01. David Mills, in his capacity as the zoning officer, requested an interpretation of the ordinance regarding setback lines vis-a-vis buildings and structures. I bet that one has something to do with the vertical plane.
That's where we specifically...
so it's 2005-01. I thought you said 2001-01.
There are different cases. The 2001-01 was not a blatant attempt to make an end run. This 2005-01, the guy had a big cantilever deck,
right,
and he was trying to beat the system.
Right, but my point is the answer shouldn't be based on whether someone's trying to beat the system or comply with it. The answer should be, my opinion, in the ordinance. So when you look, you can find out and not...
Clear.
Right.
Be clear,
right.
Exactly.
Right. So in...
Well, we didn't have any trouble when we came to the 2005-1. We didn't have any problem in saying what the ordinance was. There's not a problem.
Right.
But it had to go to the board.
If that were true, then why interpretation, though?
I mean, I can give you personal, this year I tried pulling a zoning permit for a new generator, a standby generator, and I was considering an accessory building. Tom was considering it part of the structure because I wanted it too close to the house. He and I disagreed. We ended up having to go through all of the interpretations. We found that one that said that if it's not attached to the building's foundation, that it's counted as an accessory structure. And so I was able to put it where I wanted, but we had to go. That wasn't really part of the ordinance. We had to go through all the interpretations.
Just find the old one.
Right.
Yeah. If it was clear, they wouldn't show up here at a board meeting.
Because the
well, I think probably what happened was Mills read the ordinance and he thought it was a violation, and he said, "I don't think you can do it."
Right.
But they agreed instead of. Not issuing a zoning permit to come in for interpretation sometimes.
Right, but if Mills had decided it and the applicant wasn't happy, the applicant would apply. If Mills had decided it and the applicant was happy, the applicant would have been happy. My experience is when the zoning officer applies, it's because the zoning officer doesn't know the answer.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to a disgruntled... person that just got...
it's also possible, right, he knew the answer, but he didn't want to give the answer because he didn't want someone angry at him. I'll agree that that's a possibility.
An appeal, though, wouldn't be an interpretation, would it?
The zoning officer can ask for an interpretation. That's
correct. Right. But if the applicant is unhappy, then it's an appeal.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. Let me take it back to the current instant before I go to the rest of the list. I'm still a little unclear that all these things are well-defined. John, you seem to think it's well-defined in the ordinance. I don't read it that way. And it was pointed out, one that clarifies some of these roofs, eaves, cornices, bays, railings, etc. How about a deck overhang? Is that in or is that out?
I'd say that's
not allowed.
Yeah, that's not allowed.
Vertical plane, the interpretation...
With the exception of these.
And, right.
And what are you looking at to reach that conclusion?
You're looking at a definition in some other book.
Distance is distance.
I mean,
distance to what?
But why pick the foundation? Point. Like, why is the foundation special? Why not pick any other point on the building? So that's why I'm saying I would pick the one closest to the line, except for
that,
these.
That would be clear. If it said closest point, I'd be okay.
Yeah, John, what Tom, what does it say? Read the ordinance.
Roofs, eaves, cornices.
No, that's the exception. Read the general setback.
Well,
what's the definition of setback?
Definition of setback, the required yard or distance between buildings and property lines. Doesn't say how you measure that. Is it the closest distance to any point? If I have some little thing that's a foot square, like a window box, is that the closest point? Or is it the mass of the building? Or is it the foundation? I don't think it's clear.
The closest point is the closest point.
Yeah, but, yeah, I agree.
But, but then there wouldn't be exceptions.
Say that,
well, no, but when there are exceptions, you subtract out the exceptions.
If it were to say the closest point...
I don't know. How else do you measure something, though?
Like, well, if you ask my reach the closest point, why don't we just ask them to say
discussion?
Okay.
And take out the exceptions.
All right. I tell you what. Where I was coming from was a location survey is a legal document that a licensed engineer puts out, which makes a statement about where the building is. It seems to me that we should.
Well, Tess, that's a good question. Ask Tom. Tom, you happen to be a surveyor?
Yes.
In your experience as a surveyor, when you do a survey, what do you list on your survey when you do a setback?
I happen to pull out the ALTA standards for ALTA.
What a coincidence.
NSPS standards. Looking at what John was talking about before. And really, you know, it's interesting that these standards, which is many pages, but there's also what's called a Table A that has 20-some points to be located upon agreement with your client or maybe information that was supplied to the surveyor as far as records, a title survey, any other encroachments, easements, any covenants that might affect that.
But what does it say about the building or structure?
Well, we have item... let me go down the line under, and I can leave this here for Denise, but it's lines of possession, improvements along the boundaries. I'll just read this one right now. Without expressing legal opinion as to ownership or nature of the potential encroachment, the evidence, location, extent of potentially encroaching structural pertinences and projections observed in the process of conducting the field work. We're talking, except for fire escapes, bay windows, windows and doors that open out, flue pipes, stoops, eaves, cornices, areaways, sides, trim, and frenzy. Buyer onto adjoining property, onto rights-of-way easements or setback lines disclosed in documents provided to be obtained by the surveyor. Now,
but how do you measure that? What am I measuring?
Are you measuring to the foundation or are you measuring to the vertical plane?
Well, that's two different things. Vertical plane, basically, what everybody I think you're talking about, is the vertical plane is the setback line.
Closest point.
Setback line. That's it. It goes straight up in the air. Vertical point.
Okay, the vertical plane of the building or the vertical plane of the structure?
I'm saying...
Or is the property...
Well, I understand what you're saying.
For any encroachment, all right, any encroachment at the setback line, let's say on the outside or closest to the property line, that's an encroachment. That's what you should be locating. All right?
Tell me, how did you gauge
encroachment?
He's going the reverse direction. You're looking, I think we were all looking at it as the building and where on the building. He's saying you make the setback vertical plane, and anything that's sticking through it is an encroachment.
And the question is, what's sticking through it? If I have a window box sticking through, is that an encroachment?
If that's not a roof, cornice, bay, railing,
it doesn't specify that. There's also
say.
Going... It goes on to the other sections now. Pull your desk.
Let me just point out, the fact that we were having this much discussion, I think,
indicates it's not clear.
The point that it's not clear.
Exactly.
If we can't come up to an agreement in 2 minutes, to me it says it's not clear.
I agree with that. I actually also now, hearing what you just said and then reading the ordinance, it's somewhat arbitrary as well. Like, why not a stovepipe? Like, that's a pretty small encroachment.
Let me go.
Well, it's also unclear that the exceptions say et cetera. What's an et cetera?
No. It says roofs, eaves, cornices, bays, railings, and stairs of building may extend.
That's a good point. Suppose I have a stovepipe sticking out.
Yeah.
Does that mean now I'm not in compliance?
Yeah.
Because that's the closest point, right? Which is the definition you were going to use?
Yes. I I mean, I don't know, if you made me make an interpretation because someone was applying, I'd probably say that's not an encroachment. But that's not what the ordinance says.
I would,
says.
Too. But, but it's not clear here to me.
I agree entirely with what you're saying. And also, Table A, to go a little further under this ALTA.
Right. That's not part of our ordinance. Though.
No, it isn't.
So we don't have the advantage of reading.
No, but even whenever you get down to, which is primarily for commercial structures, that these are used, not so much residential, which is we're usually contending with. They go so far as all these different items in here that they could request, if agreement with your client or with the surveyor, that they can exterior dimensions of all the buildings, the square footage, exterior footprint of all buildings at the ground level.
Footprint.
The question on the table.
What's the footprint?
Yeah, there you go.
What's the footprint?
How do we measure the setback? What are we measuring?
Two.
Is it the closest thing, no matter whether it's a stovepipe, a birdhouse stuck on the outside of the building? Is this the definition of the closest point, or is it something different? To me, it's not clear.
By the way, as a surveyor, what do you consider a building's footprint to be?
I would say we got two things, right? I'm not going to sidetrack your question here. You got two things.
You get a good time, good job before doing it, though.
You got a foundation location, which I think is what John was talking about before. As a matter of fact, that's in the section under the soil, I think it's soil regulations article.
Right, but that would make sense that soils would be foundation because something going into it. But
well, it's not only that, but they want the exact
footprint.
Location, then you do a foundation.
But footprint's not the question, though.
I want to find out what a surveyor thinks a footprint is.
Just for general interest?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got foundation location, which I was getting after. Then you also have, in my interpretation, a footprint is livable, inhabitable area, which would include a garage, too, because coming and going out of that inhabitable area.
Only inhabitable?
Which would include, the overhangs, mm-hmm. All right? And then if anything would be attached, and this is where we're talking about attachments, would be a deck. We would normally show a deck, sidewalks, any improvements also outside the building.
Okay, so
but the footprint, basically.
Would you show the deck, whether the deck had posts that are in the same vertical plane as the railings, or what if the posts were 10 feet back from the railings and the deck was 3 feet elevated?
Cantilevered, whatever. I would show that footprint.
That's part. And as a surveyor, when you had to list the setback, what setback from the property line would you go to? Would you go to the edge of the deck, or the foundation, or both?
I would go to the corner of the building, the inhabitable area, and show the deck. If it would fall into the setback.
I understand, but I'm not asking you to define an encroachment. I'm asking you as a surveyor, when you
go through the building, the inhabitable area, and also show any extension or overhang.
So with the cantilevered deck, would you count that as an encroachment if it's stuck into the setback?
Absolutely. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You would?
Yes.
Okay.
You would show it. Yes.
So regardless of where the foundation is, in that case, closest point.
Yes.
But not a stovepipe.
No.
What happens when the stovepipe obnoxiously sticks 10 feet out from the house before going up?
Well,
interesting. I've never
every definition, there's somebody who's going to push it.
I mean,
I talked to a friend of mine. I was out recently visiting in California, and she built a deck on her house that was going to encroach, but she left a half-inch space between the deck and the foundation and called it an accessory structure.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, however you define it, somebody's going to try and outsmart you.
Okay. Based on all this, we can vote on this if we need to. I recommend we ask the planning board to go back and take another look.
I would agree.
Right. Does anybody disagree? I know, John, you disagreed at the start.
I think it needs some more study. That's clear. I guess the first case that I cited, the 2001-01, the Nagel case, I think probably what happened there, and my understanding from reconstructing my discussion with Mike Ryder building inspector on this, is that after the footings are put in place, he has the builder call an engineer and get the locations done there. And if they're okay.
Foundation location, John?
The location of the footings.
Okay. The footings would be for the foundation.
If they're okay, then the building goes up.
That's pretty bad.
No.
How can you do, if you have a plan that shows that you have a cantilevered portion of the building, how could that be?
John, on the soil regulation, you have the floor.
Because what they're supposed to do.
Cantilevered structure on the porch.
What they're supposed to do is they're supposed to mark the corners of the footing, and then they're supposed to, with strings, you measure off. If you know you have a cantilever structure, you measure off to make sure that it complies with the setback. If you're pulling a building permit, well, we're not saying you're coming to the Board of Adjustment. If you pull a building permit, the zoning officer should not be just checking what the footings are if the building permit plans show that there's a cantilever. That's wrong.
I think, if anything, I agree with you, Thomas, that when I was looking for a definition of a location survey, et cetera, I really couldn't find much. The only place that I found anything at all is what John was talking about a little bit, was this soil survey plan or soil grading plan, where you have to submit a soil erosion sediment control plan, which includes the location of a building, location building, dimensional types in building to property lines, adjacent buildings, track lines, etc. Proposed building location. What it does not say is that it's like upper floors should be shown, which is what you're getting after. It shows the foundation location or footer where it's supposed to go. If that complies after a surveyor goes out and locates the building, the footer or the foundation, everything is fine.
Yeah, but that's
but for
soil erosion, it would be okay.
Yeah.
Well,
at that point, you're done touching the soil.
But if everything above that, you know, extension or expansion, a cantilevered area, people, whenever they go in for these grading plans, they know what the heck they're going to build. Are they going to build a ranch house? Are they going to build a two-story, bi-level, whatever? They should have house plans going in with this soil erosion sediment control plan that they will know what the upper floor is going to look like. So they're going to know in advance what their problem is going to be.
They're going to know in advance, but the soil erosion, that... It's a different question. That's what kind of soil disturbance you're going to have. The only soil disturbance you're going to have is from foundation, because the foundation is the only one going into the soil, or if you have exterior posts that are holding up some cantilevered structure.
Well, John, this should also, the soil erosion grading plan should also show any wetlands, any other restrictions, any conservation easements, things like that.
Right,
so you know you're putting that building in a proper location. So there's a lot of other things that should just be shown on this map other than post or whatever you're going to put into the ground. But my only point, Tom, is that I was looking for something to tie down a building in some way, and that's the only thing that I could see. We're building foundations.
There's no good definition of setback in our ordinance.
I agree.
I do too now.
Okay. So that was one of the issues. Just to leave that one. And Tom, you had an issue you wanted to bring up, right?
Well, yeah. My little notes here. The other thing that I have is this, I talked about it last year, was extensions. Time, you know, extension
of time.
No, thank you. Extension of time. And, you know, to me, what comes before is, you know, it's either by an applicant or representative or a written request for an extension. And I think what we have this past year, and you guys have been here a lot longer than I have, but there's extension of time due to lack of permits or somebody yet doesn't have something, DOT, DEP, county, whatever. And there's also extension time due to a halt in construction for whatever reason. So what I'm looking at, let's go back to extension time, lack of permits. I would like to see or suggest that if someone comes in for extension of time, lack of permits, is submit along with the request a list of outstanding permits to be obtained. What's still outstanding? When did they first apply for that permit? Let's say DOT. I'm thinking about, I don't know if I can put out names, a platypus. You know, every time this individual comes back, I don't know what the time frame is as to what has happened in the past, and we keep on carrying that forward. To this date, I don't even know if that thing's under construction yet, but I have seen, looking at the vouchers, there has been some action on it lately. So I put my notes together before I got the vouchers. Maybe I should have thought twice about it. But
you got this one right.
Yeah, so anyway, it keeps on dragging forward. So anyway, you know, when was the permit applied for, first application? And then also, second part of that, same thing, submit a list of permits that have been granted and note when they were received and also their expiration date, if that's possible, to put a little list together along with an application. That would help out, I think, me in forming opinion as to, are we still looking for extensions? Then also, if we have an extension time due to holding construction, you know, you got some list, submit along with your little request. Make a list of improvements constructed and approved. What has gone into ground so far? What's yet to be done? And then submit a list of impending improvements.
So let me ask you this. Are you suggesting that would be in an ordinance? Are you suggesting that would be added to a checklist which has to be adopted to ordinance? Or are you suggesting a rule?
I'm suggesting a checklist to be adopted, I think, to make it a little bit easier.
So just like we have checklists for a site plan application and a checklist for a variance application, there would be a checklist that before the board hears an extension, they would have to submit certain things.
Right. Obviously, it would be much more abbreviated than...
It would have the things that he's talking about, because that would have to be adopted by ordinance. So that's definitely, if you want to go that route, then you absolutely would put it in the report. But that's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is, and it also pins the applicant down so that you know exactly, are they just trying to buy time for some...
other reason.
Other reason, or, you know, are they really...
Because sometimes, you know, what the board has tried to do is try to keep the cost down by not necessarily making the applicant even come, and then you guys are reading this, you know, one or two paragraph letter and trying to glean, you know, what the reason is. If you had a checklist, you could still say that you don't have... You know, the applicants always say, we don't want to come if there's a problem. You know, don't turn us down, put us on, we'll come for the next meeting. But maybe if you had a checklist like this, it would... bringing it to focus better.
That would have been convenient for planning with the Old West Barbecue. They wouldn't have had to keep coming. They could have sent that and, you know, from their... But their
or the one that Tom's help. Talking about was a BOA case, platypus.
So, you know, things like that would help me form an opinion as to where this is and what we should be considering, that's all. You know, I think the onus of the work is really on the applicant.
Mm-hmm. By the way, if you recommended this to create this checklist and the planning board agreed, this checklist would apply to both boards.
Because I think we probably...
I think the platypus case is such an oddball situation that we shouldn't even try to... You know, go so far out as to eliminate those.
Yeah, but what his point is, it would have put more focus on what were the reasons, were they still required to do, instead of trying to read it, you know, from a letter and emails.
Right.
I think that's what...
Well, all right, what I'm saying is, The unissued permits issue itself has only come up in this case and maybe one other. Usually the delay is due to the fact that
there's been a downturn in the economy or...
It comes up
to the planning board on a regular basis.
Does it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why we're thinking, and these guys are thinking,
it would be
very helpful for the planning board.
But sometimes I'm thinking of that case of the people who wanted to build the house on the other side of the railroad, and the railroad just wouldn't answer their letters.
Right.
That, you know, somebody like the rail, you know, if you're dealing with the railroad, they could just say, it's inconvenient, we don't want to deal with it at all, so we'll just run out the clock.
Right, but that would be your reason on the checklist.
Yeah.
Because
it would be a space,
the condition
space
said
holder,
you had to get this, and the other people wouldn't give you that. Check, short, you know, check off that box.
Yeah, but I think
other
the
delay.
Difference between if you're denied, you know, same thing with DOT, if you're denied or if you're just ignored.
Right. But we're not talking about substantively whether or not to grant the extension. What Tom's talking about is getting a form so that you guys get the information on why they want the extension, what the delay is, instead of trying to glean it from a letter, have a checklist in front of you. That's what he's saying.
And also, when was it applied for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when was the permit requested? That to me is a biggie, because not to pick on Plutibus, I think that horse is out of the barn already, but that's one that I'm still not sure what all the approvals were, and ever since we lost those two units, you know, that site's discouraging anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, and I still don't even know if it's going to be built. But I did see some action in the vouchers that there was something going on there. So,
I'm personally not that concerned about granting extensions, because as long as the zoning ordinances haven't changed, they can take as long as they want. If Platypus were to come back and take 9 years to do this, if we haven't changed the zoning ordinance and they came back and they applied again, we would grant them the same relief again because we've used the same ordinances and the same time. So it doesn't bother me that much. I'm sort of inclined not to make things harder for applicants unless we think we've been giving away extensions that we shouldn't have. I don't know. I'm looking at my scorecard there. We had three this year that we gave away.
Well, I think the purpose for having time limits, I see two purposes.
Mm-hmm.
One is you don't really want there to be a lot of changes in ordinances between the time the
absolutely
granted and
agreed on. Right.
But also, you don't want to have a situation, particularly with the use variance, where the next door neighbors have changed over the years, and all of a sudden there's this big building going up next to them that's against the ordinances.
Right. But what Tom's saying is that's why he's in favor of having the time limitation. He's just saying as a practical matter, he doesn't care what the reason is for the extension as long as the ordinance hasn't changed. If the ordinance has changed, then he wants to look at it to make sure your situation doesn't happen. That's
what but our extensions that are for variances, not for permitted uses.
Right, the planning board's extensions are for permitted uses.
Yeah, so we're talking about Board of Adjustment tonight.
But sometimes these are for permitted uses. I mean, if it's a C variance.
Yeah, sometimes if it's a C variance, it's a permitted use. It's just a bulk.
I mean, if someone wants to stick
a bulk
pool
deviation
further into the setback, or, you know,
if it's a residential
accessory building or whatever.
It doesn't involve a D variance. It's a C variance.
Well, you know, I mean, even there.
On an unrelated note,
there might be a case where we grant a variance for a building pretty close to the sideline of a lot, and that owner and the adjoining lot owner were on good terms, and he didn't object.
Right.
But
years later,
he might be the only guy that wouldn't object. Most people would object. So
West Main
Street, you know.
Right, but that should be on us to represent the interest of the next door neighbor, not just the one that's there, but we ought to be representing the interest of any future neighbor, right? I mean, a lot of times we said, yeah, we know you guys don't object, but who knows who's going to be in there 5 years down the road. We don't,
that's what you say all the time.
Yeah.
All the time, right? Right. Mm-hmm. We don't want someone coming back 10 years later saying, who were the guys that approved this after you've moved away?
But things that are approved, I mean, the future neighbors, you know, that's part of real estate is you've got to investigate off-site conditions.
Haven't been built yet.
But you know, you investigate off-site conditions.
No, no, no.
Hey, there's a permit to put a 10-story building. No,
but that's why you guys have the limitation. If you grant the variance and they build it, everyone can see it. If you grant the variance and there's no time limitation, it runs with the land. So the next-door neighbor, how would they even know? They're supposed to check at the zoning office on all lots that abut them to see if there are any variances out there that haven't been built. That's why you guys have inserted the time limitation in the first place. That's what Mattson is saying.
Mm-hmm.
So that 10 years from now, you know, it might be a vacant lot next door. Now someone lives there 10 years from now, all of a sudden, whoop, this thing goes up and it's 2 feet from the line. Mm-hmm. That's what you're saying.
I'm even thinking, and I don't know how correlated this is, but like when you were talking about platypus, the thing that concerns me is it's an eyesore. It's not getting any better, you know, and I would think that the time limitations would kind of push them, particularly if you're having them document what they did or didn't do, and we knew what they did or didn't do. Because, like, but, you know, what's their motivation to hurry it along if they can take it however long they want?
But as a practical matter, they knew they had to come back. They came back for the extensions.
Yeah.
So the question is, would they be any more motivated to go faster if they had to fill out a form or not? Honestly, I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean,
that's not what's keeping them from getting it done.
Right.
Is that something we could do just in our rules and regs?
Well,
say rules and regs say that if you want to apply for an extension.
Put it this way, you can put it in the rules or regs, but you can't then say their application is not complete without it. The only way you can say an application is incomplete is if you have a checklist that requires information and that checklist's been adopted by ordinance.
But there's no finding of completeness for an extension.
A request for an extension is not, that's not something that's ordinarily.
I understand, but you could say if you're going to request an extension, you got to fill out a one-page application and a checklist. I'm not suggesting you do or you don't. I'm just saying that if you want to, you have the authority. And I'm saying if you put it in your rules, okay, it's in your rules. What's that going to do?
Get enforced, right?
How do you enforce it? Because right now, when someone's in front of you for an extension, you can say, you know what? You're here for an extension. We'd like to see X, Y, Z.
Right, we could do that today.
You could do that today.
And if they don't have them, we'll vote them down. We'll say no.
Right, or you could say come back next month.
Right.
But so, of all your possible solutions, putting it in the rules to me is the worst option. Either don't do anything, and if people are interested in asking the questions, ask. Or if you're going to do anything, go with Tom's idea, and have a very short checklist. If you want an extension, this is what you have to submit and have it adopted by ordinance. That's the only way that you can be sure that you'll get the information with the application when they submit it. Otherwise, even if you have it in the rules, most people don't read the rules. The attorneys that practice here, right, on a regular basis, the good ones, they read the rules. You know how I know? Because they ask me for the rules. Like, by February.
I have a proposal. Suppose we were to draft up a checklist and not adopt it into ordinance. We just have Denise give it to the next few people that come in for extension. Let's try it for a couple rounds. And if we find that it's useful, then we'll recommend it be adopted by ordinance. And if we find out that it's either not useful or it's cumbersome, then we either modify it or junk it, right? We can do that today.
Okay, as long as you don't say that their application's incomplete, say, listen, here's what the board's going to want. If you don't want to waste your time coming to the meeting,
right? Here's what they're going to ask.
Here's what they're going to ask. Right.
Yeah.
So either submit it ahead of time, or buyer beware when you get to the board.
Yes, that's a possibility.
Because if we do it by ordinance, and then we get halfway through the year and say we've screwed this up.
Yeah. Then you got to undo it.
Then we've got to pass an ordinance to take it out. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be better off just to give it a try run.
I don't think that's something we need to have submitted in advance of the hearing. I think that's testimony they can present
they can bring
at
it.
The hearing.
Yeah.
Now you're forcing them to come to testify. What you've done in the past is, if someone wanted an extension, you've said, submit it in a letter. If we're satisfied with it, we don't need you here. If we have a problem, we'll adjourn it and let you come in. Now, if you force them to come, that's going to increase the cost of it.
They could submit it on paper.
No, but John's saying don't.
All right. Make a request, and Denise can say,
could you draft
here's the things that we look for in your letter justifying.
Right. And if you put them in, you might not have to make an appearance.
Yeah. I asked Tom if he'd be willing to take the first cut of the checklist.
Beautiful.
I was going to ask you to email your items. That's even better.
I'll take it all into consideration, what I heard.
You go to the chat.
Yeah, no, I think it's a fair trial.
And you might want them, if, you know, it's a problem with DOT driveway placement, to bring the actual correspondence between them and the DOT. I applied to the DOT. The DOT said I had to move my mailbox, so I moved my mailbox, and then the DOT came back and said that. So, that's showing good faith effort. That's kind of what you're looking for, isn't it?
Yeah, I haven't been here a long time, but every time someone comes in, unfortunately, an individual comes in and they don't know everything that maybe they should be presenting or giving us a better idea as to what we should be considering. I think this would be helpful, and not to hinder them, but less wasted time, I think.
Okay.
So where are you with this measuring the setbacks?
I think we were going to leave it in the... annual report to ask them to clarify, and I will call over there to follow up on the form. Say, hey, look, here's the discussion we had to make it clear. Again. Okay. So, does anyone else have any comments or corrections to the annual report? Then
I have one last question. The Airbnb line, the first one, I believe. Since it's not currently prohibited or permitted. And I guess it's sort of ambiguous if you consider that something that falls under single-family residential or not. If we were to change the ordinances and eliminate it, do all the people that are currently Airbnb-ing their homes fall under a pre-existing non-conforming use?
Hmm.
Are we just kicking that down until...
Very interesting. Another very interesting question that I'm not prepared to answer tonight. It's very interesting. Yep. Great question.
Okay, so kind of a motion to adopt the annual report or approve as written.
So moved.
And a second.
And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any nays or abstentions? None. Okay, so Denise, you have
I'm
it.
Sorry, who was the second?
I was.
David.
Thank you.
Okay, that's everything on the agenda. Anyone have any
questions? Whoa. We got one more thing.
We do?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, your list?
Don't let me forget.
Oh, yes, I wrote it down.
I already forgot. What did I say?
Any changes to the rules?
Thank you. If anyone has any proposed changes to the rules, could you please email them to me so I can revise them and get them out redlined so they could the revised rules could be adopted at the next meeting or in March.
Okay. Yep. And, John, you had a proposed rule change, right? You contemplated one? Extending the time for residential?
Tom had mentioned Tom Yeager's concern about granting extension of time. And I guess one thing that's occurred to me is there have been several properties where we've issued a series of extensions. And, you know, maybe we should just make the standard times a little bit longer.
Could I ask you this, though? We always say the standard time is 1 year and 1 year. Would you like more time? Some people say yes. Some people say no. So if you extended it more, say you said 2 years to get the permit
and 2 years to construct. Yeah. And he said, do you need more time than that? Some people would say yes, some people would say no. So,
well, let's look at platypus. They they several times said we need a 6 months extension. They keep coming back for 6 months extensions, which is, you know, it's running their bill up.
I understand, but they could have asked for more than that.
Yeah, yeah.
But they haven't. So I don't know if that's
not our regulations. That's not what's causing them to come back frequently. It's their request. This is within their power to change.
That's correct.
They need us to change it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm sort of trying to restate what.
Thank you. You're doing a better job than I am.
Yeah, there's a question of, are they wasting our time by coming back that many times, and do we want to then limit them? Usually those cases take such a short amount of time.
But again, ultimately, right, at the end of the day on these extensions, now, I'm not talking, if you have a zone change, I understand. Mm. But at the end of the day, if there's no zone change and you were to say no, and they want it, and you think it's a good project, why would you say no? Because if you say no, they're going to come back and apply again. So if you think you're wasting your time on the extension, you're going to waste a lot more time when they come back and start from scratch. Putting the time limit there avoids what John Mattson said. That's the surprise down the road. You give every applicant the opportunity to ask for more time. Mm-hmm. They decide how much time to ask for. Maybe they don't have a realistic conception of it. But how do we determine what's realistic for them?
I do think there's probably like an implicit understanding on their part that, you know, if you ask for too much, we'll just say no to the whole thing.
Well,
the whole extension, not the whole.
Correct. I mean, some people have said we 5 years. We're not going to give you 5 years. But most people, on the residential things where it's 1 and 1, this board has never said no to 2 and 2. If someone asks for 3, sometimes I ask them why 3. They have some good reason, they've said yes. If they didn't have a good reason, some people were like, well, you know, 3 years is a long time too. But that's a game, you know, a game time decision that sure. You guys make.
I think a lot of times too, for a homeowner application, there's going to be a lot of people who will say, if I knew this was going to take 3 years, I never would have started the process.
Without using names, it's a particular homeowner I could think of, right? He's caused his own problems as he keeps on getting fights with his contractor. There's nothing you could have done on that application, in my humble opinion. You could have given him 5 years. He would have messed that up.
Right. You can't write code for every case.
Yeah. And I think if you said to somebody, you know, well, why don't you ask for 5 years instead? You'd scare them off.
Anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
Good. And John, regarding the list of all the interpretations, when I call over, I will have a conversation with, you know, Kevin or John, and say, hey, you know, you guys want this? Would you be willing to go through it and just kind of socialize it? Yeah. Without any official action.
It's a lot of work to go through these things, but I got to tell you that for the same reason, look, John Mattson has a good point. Some of them are very narrowly tailored, but others of them are very broad-based. And if you have a broad-based one, like with how you measure the setback, I agree with the chairman. Better to have it in the ordinance so you don't have to have an interpretation. If you talk about wasting time, right? If they don't have to come to you for the interpretation, you've saved everyone a lot of time.
Well, I think you could say, too, that any ordinance that has et cetera in it has a problem.
this one did not, though. It didn't have et cetera.
Oh, what was that? Was that Tom's?
Yeah, it was Tom's.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the cause?
I don't know whether this needs to be part of the meeting. It's not something that requires any action on our part, but the Junio application where he wanted to put a...
This is the one you dismissed, right? Okay.
Yeah. And which he's withdrawn, so it's right. A good point. But there came a question about the location of the garage and whether it met the yard requirements, I guess, is how to phrase it. Well, it's within the setbacks, but And what I was trying to remember, I kind of raised the issue during the discussion, and I couldn't remember the wording of the ordinance, but it is closer to the road than the building is.
Right. There was a separate zoning regulation on that.
Yeah.
It's not a typical setback. There's a separate zoning regulation right on that.
And we would have had to give him a variance for, I don't know.
But he agreed to move the building to get out of that one.
He did, right.
The sticking point was the height.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I think he agreed to move the building to get past the weeds overhang, didn't he?
I think he ultimately agreed to move the building to eliminate that variance. I think the only variance left was the height, and that was the one that
it's too much
broke the bank, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There was another aspect of that which then didn't come up. But when you say that the notwithstanding above on lots, no, I'm sorry, minimum setback from streets, same as for principal buildings, but the accessory building shall not be located closer to the street than the principal building. And so, I mean, it's clear here that this is located closer to the street than the principal building. But suppose this had been a little bit further back. But you would say, well, what does closer to the street mean? If I stand in the street here and I look at the building, I've got this in the way.
Isn't it the closest measurement? The shortest
this, line? This is a highly unusual street situation, and I don't think we need to address it, but it's just interesting.
Yeah, but I think I would always understand it as closest to the street means
meaning
at
the closest point.
Closest point.
Well, I don't know. I look at this and I think, well, maybe what they're trying to say is they don't want the accessory building to block the view of the main building from the street. Mm-hmm. We don't have to decide that. I'm just saying. And this is such an oddball case. In the usual case. You know, I mean, this has a very, very unusual street layout. In the usual case, that wouldn't be a problem. If it was in the front yard, it would be clear what the front yard is, whether it's closer to the street than the house is.
It was open from the road.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Anything else? Motion to adjourn.
Second. Is that not? Were you asking for a motion or making the motion?
No, I was asking for one. But we had
Sharon,
her second.
Sharon made it.
So all in favor?
Aye.
Was there a second?
Yeah, I think everyone seconded.
Okay.
For the edification of our audience, this is not a typical meeting.
Yes.
Oh, I wouldn't assume so. I mean, I work for the water supply.